Jaden King. Nicholas Negret.
Here.
Jocelyn Simmons.
Here.
McKenna Skoronski.
Here.
Phoebe Kugel.
Here.
And Nevada State Representative Rachel Jackson.
Here.
Wolfpack Radio Representative Adeline Hill.
Here.
Josie Hester.
Here.
Inside Magazine Representative Kiera Wolf.
Here.
Patty Peters.
Here.
Olivia Sullivan.
Here.
And Brush Fire Representative Daniel Argello.
Here.
Did I say it correctly, your last name? What is it correctly?
Daniel Arguello.
Argello.
Arguello,
okay. And Israel Cruz.
He's on his way.
Okay. And Asian School of Journalism Senator Kelsey Forbes.
Here.
And Asian Vice President Hannah Alcueza. Is there any public comment at this point? We have Wolfpack Radio Manager selection process first. So we have, looks like two candidates because Jaden King is not here. So we have Isaac and Nicholas. So Isaac, you're gonna be first.
Okay.
And I have a very strange technology problem here. Trying to pull up the presentations.
Oh, and you're going to be
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for making the time to be here. My name is Isaac Goyette. My friends and close colleagues call me Ivory. I invite you to do the same. I'm running for the general manager position of Wolfpack Radio. And yeah, just to get into a little bit about me, currently I am the Wolfpack Radio Student Music Director. We'll go into kind of my duties there and how they might pertain to the general manager position in a little bit. As far as my education goes, I'm actually on my second bachelor's degree right now. My first one was a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration with a minor in Music Industry. So that taught me a lot of the music technology and everything that gets used in Wolfpack Radio, and I feel like that's been a huge benefit to me, as well as the business administration side of things, keeping everything organized and keeping myself motivated to get projects done and help other people manage their own projects. Currently, I'm working on a Bachelor of Arts in Music Composition. It's not technically a degree yet, but it will be in the next couple of semesters, and I will be graduating with it probably around spring 2025. Currently, I am the sitting president and a founding board member of the UNR Audio Engineering Society, where I practice a lot of the music technology, studio recording, and live sound technique that I mentioned previously. I also do some additional work with private AV firms, the Entertainment Union, as well as Imaraj Sound Lab with Platinum Award winning audio engineer Tom Gordon. My general skills include live sound and studio recording technique, as I mentioned previously. I'm also very well versed in audio editing, including programs such as Pro Tools and industry standard recording and audio editing software, as well as Reaper. Essentially does the same thing, but it's free, as well as the Adobe suite of programs. I'm also familiar with a wide range of AV equipment and software, so pretty much any mixing board you put in front of me, give me at least 30 minutes, I'm able to figure it out. I have effective written and verbal communication skills taught me through my previous degree, as well as a lot of experience with presentations and my previous work with the College of Liberal Arts, working on a podcast as well. I am versed in a whole bunch of different business techniques, including quantitative management policy, organizational behavior, human resources management, so on and so forth. Basically meaning I know how to lead a team, I know how to get people together, keep them motivated, and happy to get projects done. Some of my accomplishments, as I mentioned before, my previous job was with the College of Liberal Arts. I worked immediately under the marketing director, and my main duty there was producing a podcast where I interviewed a bunch of College of Liberal Arts faculty and graduate students, talking about their research and their projects. We got about 7 episodes in the last semester that I worked for that, and it was hour and a half long interviews with just me and that faculty or grad student member. I've also professionally recorded and mixed a number of music student recitals this semester. All of them I'm very proud of. Most recently I worked Cenzo Pellegrino's recital, probably one of the best piano players to come out of this college. And I'm currently mixing that one together right now. And all of those I feel like could be a major benefit to Wolfpack Radio as well. We could feature them as special events kind of thing. I've developed connections with various local musicians, composers, engineers, and producers. Got a wide network of people there, including the Audio Engineering Society, where we've kind of collected everybody together to keep that network bustling. I've taught members of the UNR AES live sound and studio recording technique, so I have some experience teaching people in that regard. And I've also composed and coordinated the performance of my first woodwind quintet this semester. Moving on, currently with Wolfpack Radio, I'm the music director. My general roles there is managing the catalog of filler tracks that play in between broadcasts as well as in the off hours from about 8 p.m. to about 9 in the morning. I'm also the primary contact with KWNK for live sound at the Laughing Planet. I've been doing that pretty much every week since, I'm going to say, last winter. So that's probably a good 6 months at this point. And it's been a lot of fun. That's something that I would want to expand out to the rest of Wolfpack Radio's DJs. I assist DJs with editing and uploading shows, as well as troubleshooting any issues that they have with the technology. I've also tabled for Wolfpack Radio in the past. My ongoing projects that I plan to continue in the future with Wolfpack Radio is accepting promos from independent bands and labels to expand our music catalog. We always get new music coming in, and I think it's really important to feature that new music and those underground artists, as we are a small radio station. It's only right that we promote the community that we are broadcasting to primarily. I'm also sorting the music catalog into genres for better cohesion with show content. We'll get into a little bit more about that later. And I also plan to keep assisting Tom from KWNK with live sound at the Laughing Planet beyond Wednesday night jams. And what I mean by that is basically I've been working a lot of those student recitals, a lot of those different events that the Laughing Planet holds, and that's been how I've been spending a lot of my time in this role, is just working live sound with that kind of stuff when I'm not working on the music catalog. Future plans, these are the general goals that I have going forward, both should I be promoted to the general manager position, also if I just continue on with my role and work with whoever is decided for the general manager position. So my main goal is to create a cohesive identity for Wolfpack Radio. My main idea for this is the implementation of new primetime shows. We'll get into a little bit of that immediately after this. I also plan to expand the audiences of all shows. The previous point kind of feeds into this one a little bit, but I believe encouraging cross-promotion and collaboration between DJs is a good way to go about this as well, just really promoting DJs to work together and build that community amongst themselves. I plan to promote technical competency amongst DJs, planning to partner with the Audio Engineering Society to help people find people who can help them with those technical aspects of their shows, get them a bit more up to snuff with it, and kind of just bring the two organizations together to really get everybody's technical prowess up to a professional level. I also plan to extend the live sound practice that I mentioned earlier at the Laughing Planet to all interested DJs as well. And I want to start hosting live events under the Wolfpack Radio banner. This is something that we've done in the past, but because of COVID, has kind of fallen by the wayside, very understandably. But I believe we're at a pretty safe point where we can start moving forward with getting those back into place. So as far as those primetime shows go, we already have a few with the foundations built. Live in the 775 was a show that our current general manager, Adeline Pewitt, produced. A great show where we interview a lot of local musicians. I believe it mainly aired on KWNK as well, but I believe hosting that on Wolfpack Radio would be a smart move. And having that be at a pretty reasonable time, somewhere in the midday, and having guest DJs from different shows coming in to host it, talk about their own shows, and extend the program out to include a community calendar, just talking about what events are coming up, what local concerts are coming up, I believe that would create a very good face of the station and allow people to promote their own shows and kind of redirect audiences to different areas. I also laid the foundation for a Wolfpack Underground. We've been talking to a lot of DJs this semester about it. We want to move forward and implement this show next semester and beyond. Essentially, this show would feature a lot of the promos received by the music director and additional underground music brought in by guest hosts. Really showcasing a lot of those independent musicians and a lot of new music that a lot of people may not have heard before. There's a lot of really great stuff in that catalog. I'm really excited to share it. I'd be happy to host this one myself. But having as many people guest DJ on or guest host on this show as possible, I believe would really benefit the image of it and get people listening to a lot more varied music and get people a lot more promotion for their own individual shows. Finally, Wolfpack Weekly. This is another show that has been previously established. Airs on KWNK to give highlights of Wolfpack Radio to try to get people listening to KWNK to listen to Wolfpack Radio as well. But I believe airing this on Wolfpack Radio in general is just a really great way to get our pre-existing listeners listening to these hypothetical primetime shows to move about and listen to different different times throughout the week. Okay. In that case, I'm excited to hear your guys' questions. Thank you for your time.
Now we have 5 minutes for questions and answers.
I guess I would have to ask. Based on your background in more of the compositional side of it, when you are planning on the scheduling and you, because basically like you're going to like, if you get this position, you would pick the shows that air as well.
Yes.
Do you think that that would in any way inhibit your ability to take on other genres at all? Or do you think that you'd be able to look for, are you looking for something that is more classical heavy or are you looking for something that's more just overall?
So you and I previously discussed when we were trying to start the sorting of the catalog into different genres about having a different genre each day. I've kind of expanded that into we would group together different genres of shows together. So we would have more hip-hop focused shows all at certain points of the day, and the filler tracks in between would have the hip-hop tracks from the filler tracks playing in between and afterwards to kind of keep that cohesive image together. The idea behind that is someone tunes in for their friend's hip-hop show and they hear a song coming on immediately afterwards that fits their genre and they figure, oh, might as well keep it on and continue forward into the next show. That would be true of basically every show, and we would have not one genre playing on an entirety of a day, but it would be a nice transition sort of thing going into it and encouraging DJs to be like, stay tuned for this next show coming up. It features this type of music kind of thing. So we would still very much focus on having a wide breadth of different genres, but we would want different areas of the day to be cohesive so people would feel encouraged to continue listening throughout the day. Does that answer your question?
I'm just wondering, in your perspective, what is one quality or trait that specifically makes you stand out compared to the other people?
I believe my experience in the audio field is a bit of a standout. I've worked very faithfully and passionately with various engineers, producers, and professionals in the field around Reno. I have a lot of experience in that factor. I've moved around a little bit with the private firm that I've mentioned before, Craft Productions. We're going to Baltimore in the next couple of months, so that has introduced me to different cultures as far as broadcast goes, because I always try to tune into what's being broadcast in that area when I go there. It's something that I'm very passionate about. I believe without that technical understanding, moving into other areas of it only becomes much more difficult. Does that answer your question?
So you talked about all of these things you're involved in, like all of your different firms you work for and like that kind of thing. So how do you plan on devoting your a set allotted amount of time for Wolfpack Radio to Wolfpack Radio, given everything you're doing outside of Wolfpack Radio?
So Wolfpack Radio is my primary occupation, actually. Everything else, Craft Productions, I technically hold the title of intern there. That is kind of a holdover of an internship that I took for my music industry minor mentioned previously. But that one is by no means a full-time job. It's they tell me about jobs that are available, and I accept them on a case-by-case basis. Same with the Audio Engineering Union, more of a free-form extent. That one, it's just calls are sent out, and you can say no, you can entirely ignore them. Basically, both of those are just kind of when I have the time, when I have the free time, and when I need the money.
I just have one more question.
Sorry. I am curious on kind of how comfortable you would be in this position in terms of in this position, you have to do a lot of talking to ASUN people, mm-hmm. which involves a lot of political talking and kind of swallowing your pride sometimes. So how comfortable are you with doing that?
Extremely. Going through my business administration degree, a few of the classes that we take are effective business writing and communications. So a lot of those have trained me for situations such as that, situations such as this. So going forward with discussions with ASUN and presentations such as this, I do feel very comfortable.
Thank you so much, Isaac.
All right. Thank you.
Hello everyone, my name is Nicholas Negretti, and I'm here to present why I believe I would be the best candidate to be the Wolfpack Radio Station Manager. So just kind of dividing this up into four parts, who am I, what I've done for Wolfpack Radio, my plans for the future, and how we can attain those goals. So just to start off with an introduction, who am I? My name is Nicholas Negretti. I went to a performing arts high school, studied jazz guitar, played in bands, on and off for the past 7 or 8 years. Organized events and bookings. I was always kind of like the leader of those bands, so I'd reach out to venues, other bands, and just kind of plan the logistics of everything. And I also taught guitar classes to homeschool kids. And then that brings us kind of to my time here at UNR. So I transferred here in fall of 2021 as a mechanical engineering student. I joined Wolfpack Radio as a student DJ that same semester. It's one of the first things when I got here. I'm from California. I didn't know anybody here, so I figured just why not find the other music nerds. And then I started as a program director at Wolfpack Radio the next semester. So I've been managing a handful of shows since then. And then I'm also a part of another organization on campus called KESM, and I have been involved with them for a long time, but joined as a director this past summer. So just a little bit about my background as a leader, and just kind of explaining what that KESM organization is. It's a national nonprofit organization that has chapters at college campuses all around the world. And their goal is providing support for kids whose parents have or had cancer. So I went, they do all this fundraising to put on a free week-long summer camp. I attended as a camper at the UC Davis chapter. And then as I came here to UNR, there was a new chapter starting, and I joined as what's called an operations coordinator. So I actually planned the logistics of the camp year before this one. And when I joined, we had about 14 active volunteer members. We ended up serving 16 campers, and we had fundraised about $17,000. And then last summer when I joined as director, at this point we now have 30 active volunteers, so we have 16 who are like a member of like our actual volunteer coordinator board, and then 14 more who are just kind of general members. We have 25 campers that we're serving, and we've almost doubled the amount that we fundraised. So I spent a lot of time picking out the coordinators that like would be best for achieving these goals. I would lead and plan weekly meetings, and I got a lot of experience in managing volunteers, because it's one thing if you have people who, you know, you're paying a salary, it's easier to just tell them to go do something. But with a volunteer organization, there's a buy-in, you have to keep them involved, and I believe I learned a lot of just really useful skills in my time there. And that brings us to what I've done for Wolfpack Radio. So in my first year, I joined in September of 2021, starting my show, Negretti FM. Let's do a lot of kind of local underground Sacramento Reno music, and I wanted to give that more of a platform. And then my second semester that I was involved, I became a program director, managed four DJs in their shows. Over this past second year, I've continued as a program director. I believe I actually have six DJs and five shows that I manage and keep in touch with. I became the producer of Wolfpack Radio Weekly, and so that's a show that airs on K-Wink, which is kind of the other big local radio station, but they have an actual FM channel. So each week I work with one of our volunteer DJs to put together just kind of highlights of shows each week, and then it goes on to the actual FM air, which is super cool. And over these past couple months, I began planning and running station-wide volunteer meetings, just kind of with the goal of having everybody together, building community, and kind of building familiarity between all of our DJs. And that brings us to kind of my vision of the future of Wolfpack Radio. College radio, I'm a little bit biased. I'm like music nerd. We're all student media kids. I think college radio is really cool. I think there's something just like intrinsically, like just people playing weird music on the air and sharing stuff that they love. I think it's just a really cool thing. And so I want to take that energy and see how we can focus that and grow that into being more of a presence on UNR. That kind of brings us to two parts of it. So with our internal identity, so just kind of the way that the DJs view their involvement with the radio station and just kind of their community as a staff, they only really get the chance to meet each other during our orientations. There's one per semester, but that generally focuses on our new DJs. So there's not like a real continuity. It's they get a chance to meet each other and then just kind of like good luck. It's common to see there not be a ton happening in the office. We do almost all of our recording there, but outside of somebody kind of being locked away in that room and just recording their show, there's not a ton that goes on. And externally, unfortunately, this is kind of the plight of student media, not a ton of students know that we exist, or if they know that we have student media, they might not know the details of it and what we can offer. We don't have a super solidified just kind of presence on campus, just tying in with that. And as it stands, Wolfpack Radio is like just an online radio station, which is still cool, and there's still value, and it's great that like people are able to share their music and share their voice and what they enjoy But outside of kind of our broadcasting, we don't do a whole lot. So that kind of brings me to my plan. I believe we should start hosting live events, starting with concerts that just kind of attach the Wolfpack Radio name with fun community-led events. I want us to offer more than just like a volunteer opportunity for student DJs. I want people who don't want to put that time or effort in to still be able to get involved and see like, hey, Wolfpack Radio is something that puts on events, and there's just kind of an association there that it's something associated with fun and local music. And it just gives that opportunity for these people who aren't student volunteers to interact with us. Monthly meetings, we've started over the past couple months. I tried to emulate a lot of what I did with the KESA meetings. Because they're all volunteers, they're not paid people, need to show people the value of showing up, showing them they're working together with the community. And I believe there's a lot of value in that. And then going forward, we can use that as a space for a lot more collaboration. As it stands, there's a couple of like duo shows where two friends will come together and create a radio show, but there's not a ton of collaboration between DJs. And I feel like by increasing this familiarity, by increasing just everybody's voice within the organization, there's a lot more chance for collaboration and working together as a community. For our DJ training, as it stands, we do have just kind of a main orientation. Sometimes we'll do an editing workshop to get everybody started. And currently, we just do pre-recorded shows, which is totally cool and most comfortable for people. But I believe there's a lot of value in live broadcasting. My show, Negretti FM, last year was the only show to do live broadcasting, and there is something kind of ephemeral about the mess-ups and like the stress of like fading between shows, and I feel like that kind of bridges the gap between like a pre-recorded, like almost like podcast-type feeling to like a live air. And I understand not everybody would be comfortable with that, but giving them the opportunity to kind of work towards that or see that as an end goal, I think would be really important. And with these kind of extended DJs, I think there's value in working together as a group and going through, like, they're probably not going to be super stoked to go through, you know, however many weeks of training, but they're all working as a group to reach this kind of common end goal, and I do think there's value in that, and it's it kind of gives them, like, a perceived, like, sunk cost, like, not in a bad way, but they are working through something as a group, and they can build relationships through that. I also think that we could do with some more apparel, just if you were sitting behind somebody with a Wolfpack Radio shirt in class, like that just shows that, hey, we exist, we're out there. A lot of the people who would be interested in student media are probably the same kind of people who would be interested in like screen printing or embroidery, so we could kind of tailor that to be like a community workshop or community event to, hey, learn how to do this and help us make this merchandise. And it's a way to get people who are kind of still involved or still wanting to be involved, but maybe don't have the time or interest to have a full-time show, still get involved and feel like, hey, I helped make that shirt, or they see me around campus, it just kind of builds that community. Something I forgot to put on here, but I think something I would like to do going forward, is it's very common for radio shows to have sweepers. And DJs, as it stands, are encouraged to be like, hey, my name's Nick, and you're listening to Wolfpack Radio. And that gives us an opportunity to kind of build more of a continuity between our shows. The shows are like scheduled to be fairly like nice to listen to back and forth, but there is a lot of variety. And kind of enforcing like every 20 to 30 minute sweeper to like bring them back in, like, hey, you're still listening to Wolfpack Radio, could add some value. As well as getting into public places on campus like the Joe or the gym, playing a Wolfpack Radio curated playlist. So they listen to music, they hear, hey, you're listening to Wolfpack Radio. Again, it's like just very subconscious, but it says like, hey, we exist on campus. But yeah, just kind of the spark notes of everything. There's a lot of energy and there's a lot of passion here. And I just like to funnel that in a way that's more visible and a way that builds a community for Wolfpack Radio. Thank you everybody for listening. Are there any questions?
5 minutes for questions and answers.
Hi, I'm Olivia from Insight. How would you say that your background in like live in like performing your own live music has prepared you for the more technical side of working with a radio station?
So I have an engineer brain. I went to a performing arts school, but was also in a band, and ended up as a like engineering degree. So I really enjoy just kind of the behind the scenes parts of it. Pretty much everything that like my band had recorded had been had some just aspect of audio editing, which is used a lot in teaching the show or the DJs how to edit their shows, just performing live or capturing live performances and like editing it to make it sound more professional is something I've always been really interested in. And due to that kind of like past skill set of like producing my own music, I found a lot of comfort in like I just kind of learned this new software to edit my shows, and it gave me just like it felt very familiar, which is good. And then also just with like the kind of managerial aspect, like I know what the process of reaching out to a venue for an event is. I know what it's how flaky bands could be if you're trying to work something out with them. So I think that's just given me a lot of reps in working with that, and just builds more comfort towards reaching out like on behalf of this organization.
So we've spoken a lot this semester about certain aspects of things, but I need to know, I guess, how you plan on really committing yourself to making these things happen. Like, is this a viable thing based off of certain past elements? But, I mean, yeah.
I think, I'd like to think this year has been an outlier. I've been kind of like dealing with that unknown ailment that just kind of brings overall capacity down. And then this director position that I've held with Kesson has been like, I wake up to 20 texts every morning of people dealing with stuff. There's drama, and it's just very all consuming. So I haven't been able to put as much time into just kind of the Wolfpack Radio is probably appropriate. But I think going forward, I've learned about the importance of like setting deadlines, setting like public agendas, public timelines, and like having those as a set standard. And I think a lot of these things would fall in line with that. Just knowing like, hey, we do have these meetings like every month. Hey, I know I need to do X, Y, and Z this week because that's my routine. And I also don't think I stepped up to take up as much responsibility this year as I could have. And if I did, it might have been easier to kind of like block that out as a part of my schedule. So I think with just taking a bit more responsibility, putting more on my plate, be easier to just kind of like divide up and allocate time to that as like an expected regular thing.
Can I ask a follow up to that one thing? Okay. I also just wanted to know about, since you're with Kesson and I know you also have another job, how would you plan on kind of devoting that time? Because I know you have a lot of time constraints. How would you plan on devoting that to Wolfpack Radio?
So I'm taking a big step back with Kesson. My only, ideally, and what I'm planning for is to only have like about an hour per week for our weekly meetings that I'm going to be spending time on it, as opposed to like just being on the clock 24/7 of like using capacity to answer questions and stuff. So I think in taking a step back from that, I'm able to allocate a lot more time and just energy to like focus on this new thing. Like I've built a lot with Kesson, like a lot of focus on like the intangibles and the big picture of it. And I won't have to have the responsibility of that this next year. So I believe I can put that same energy towards the Wolfpack Radio.
So obviously you have a plan to like do live events and apparel, but these are all like costly goals and that require a timeline. What would you plan on doing to increase our presence on campus in more of a short-term, less costly way?
I think tabling is a classic. We have the club fairs coming up, and that's always good for restarting it. I know we do have the ASUN funds, and then kind of building a schedule of like what we can allocate to events. I don't know off the top of my head outside of merchandise and planning events that we could do to increase it, but I do know that we were able to work out with like whoever plays the music at the Joe or the gym. I'm hoping they wouldn't charge us for that. And that seemed like the kind of thing that would just be a couple emails away as opposed to like booking a venue, buying materials.
There's time for one more question.
Awesome. Okay, thank you, everyone.
Yeah, so please wait outside. I want to come get you in a second.
Sure. Thank you.
Brings us to the voting and discussion process. So open the floor for the discussions. Kiara?
I don't mean to put our current Wolfpack Radio staff on the spot, but if you guys could give us more insight on maybe specific reservations or specific reasons for advocating one or the other, because it seems like they both would be qualified face value, but I think we're all missing their personality and workflow from a 10-minute presentation, so that would be really insightful.
Yeah, of course. So it's kind of a difficult thing because they both have their obviously pros and cons. I think they both have different ways of approaching what they want to do. So I think, first off, I want to say that if you like their direction, because they both seem to have a bit of a different direction with Wolfpack Radio, I would say definitely think about that. But I guess reservations on each would be Ivory can be a little bit kind of hard to, they have a hard time connecting with the DJs sometimes, and I know that they have a lot of background in audio engineering, but to be completely honest, you don't really need that to do Wolfpack Radio. As long as you care about the DJs and you can work with them and you're passionate about it, everything will work out, even the audio engineering part, because at the end of the day, we're doing the most basic level of audio engineering. With Nick has had a difficult time. Nick has been flaky, very flaky, and so I have a lot of reservations regarding that, but technically Ivory never really turned in the show that they promised at the beginning of the semester either, so I guess Ivory, in a sense, has had more success with posting shows, but at the end of the day, they both kind of have that behind them that's a little difficult for me to kind of render out which one is, has that difficulty to, I don't know how to say that. Anyway, Josie?
This is a very people person kind of position, because you are dealing with so many day-to-day processes rather than the engine, like the audio side of things, because that really is, we teach the DJs how to produce their show and then they do it on their own and we just post the shows. So having a background in audio for both of them is helpful, because there's always going to be questions that come up, but at the end of the day, we need someone who's going to communicate well with not only the team but the DJs, and it has been an issue with both of them, flakiness wise and just time management, being there, showing up, doing the job. So I mean, both of them are very qualified. Nick has been with us longer, but this semester has been an issue. Ivory just started this semester and has been a great addition to the team, but did commit to two shows that were never on air. So I think it's just balancing out who we can see in the future, maybe showing up and getting the work done and bettering their image, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, like I said though, if you like where they want to take Wolfpack Radio, I would base my vote off of that, because because at the end of the day, it's just something where they've both been flaky.
Is there anyone who will continue to be a staff member that could maybe act as another link of accountability, in the sense of they've seen their past work? So you'll be there.
Yeah, that'll be Joseph.
Well, I mean, you're going to be working with under one of them, so what's your preference on that?
Yeah, no. I know we have to make a decision. Truthfully, I do not know, because I do care about Wolfpack Radio, and unfortunately, I don't have the time to be the manager, so I cannot be there to pick up their slack, which I'm worried about either of them being in this position, having to pick up their slack when I'm not in that position to do that. So I guess I'm more looking at their goals and seeing which one has more realistic goals for the station that aren't going to cost us too much and that are feasible to make happen in a year, because I graduate next year, I believe Nick graduates next year, and we want to leave Wolfpack Radio as a good, at a good point for a new team of people to come on eventually. So I guess I'm just looking at, honestly, their presentations and seeing what their goals are and trying to make sense of that in my head.
I like, obviously, both of their goals. I think they had a good, like, set point of what they want their goals to be, and they did that very well. I will say, though, that I do like how Nick is very, like, broad in his goals. Seeing that Ivory kind of focused on a few goals that are connected, but Nick had, like, he wanted to do apparel, he wants to start hosting live events. Obviously, there's, like, money behind that, of course, but I think that if he's right for this position, then he'll be able to figure that out when he gets to it and kind of work around that.
I think kind of going off of that, I like had the opportunity to kind of see last year's presentations as well and to see where Nick has come since last year in terms of like his goals, and actually writing out how he's gonna have them done has been a big step of growth, I think, in his personal character. That has made me slightly more interested in like his goals and like what he might do in this position. The last time I saw this presentation, it was very like, these are all my goals and it's just gonna happen and it'll work out. But I feel like in this presentation we saw specifically the goals, but then also like laid out how the steps he wants to take to be able to get there. And even if they don't pan out, because as we all know in this room, like, we all come into this job with so many goals and like aspirations. So few of them actually happen. But like, I feel like in his presentation, I was confident that even if that stuff doesn't happen, he's going to try his best to like to push Wolfpack Radio forward, not backwards, and like, yeah, move it forward intentionally, I think.
If I could go off on that, I did also see bit of a difference in Nick versus Ivory's goals, and that Ivory's goals to me seemed more focused on collaboration, creating events that, just kind of fun events in general. Meanwhile, to me, Nick's goals seemed more to want to build like a sustainable base for Wolfpack Radio. So even though he would only be here for a year probably, to me it felt like his goals would build a much stronger base for Wolfpack Radio to go on and to be passed down safely to someone else.
Any other discussion?
And also, I just wanted to remind you, please state your name before it's for the record.
Israel of Brushfire.
Discussions?
Adeline, Wolfpack Radio. Sorry, I'll never get used to this stuff. I do just want to say, regardless of anything, I think that, like, I obviously will try my best to train them to the best of my ability to make sure that we can move forward. And I don't know if I can state any preferences right now. Am I allowed to do that?
Huh? I feel like, to have a fair,
Oh, yeah, no, I don't know. I was like, I don't know if I should say, because it's not like a preference, it's just something that I was like, oh, but I don't want it to come off as like, do this, because like, I want everyone to just choose based off of what they think. Well, then that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Evelyn. Any more discussion at this point? Seems not. So I need a motion to start.
Rachel Jackson, motion to move into a vote.
We need a second.
Second.
Thank you.
So just to remind you, the voting is a roll call voting. So just state your name and you tell me who
who you're going to vote for. Does that make sense?
Okay. All right. Rachel Jackson.
Nicholas Negrete.
Adeline.
Nicholas Negrete.
Josie.
Nicholas Negrete.
Kiara.
Nick.
Caddy.
Nick.
Olivia.
Nick.
Dania.
Nicholas Negrete.
Israel.
Nicholas Negrete.
Kelsey.
Nick.
Okay. Looks like Nick is going to be the next Wolfpack radio manager. I'm going to go get them.
Jocelyn, and yes, I have my own logo. It just worked out that way. I've branded myself 3 times now, and this one was a happy accident. I have several nicknames. One is what close friends, the first two are what close friends call me. Ambassador Joss is my playa name at Burning Man. Josie the researcher is what I go by on Instagram, and really, who am I? I fell in love with design when I was in high school, when I was the co-editor of the yearbook way down south in Southern California in the Mojave Desert. I just got lucky. I had an English credit that I had to make up, and I took yearbook, and then I fell in love with composition and design and just working with people and making things. I am an older student. I'm not as young as most of you. I worked a whole career in advertising as an in-house designer and a freelance designer before the pandemic. It was the pandemic that caused me to decide that I wanted to go back to school. Some of the things that I've designed a lot of things. Logos, among other things, includes billboards, booklets, annual reports. I've pretty much designed packaging. I've pretty much designed anything that can be designed at some point. I like to show this off because it's the one thing I've designed that's actually stood the test of time and is still actively in use. Every once in a while I see it on a license plate and it kind of freaks me out. My last job as a designer was for a promotions company, and I used to sit down with a pencil and paper and sketch out silly little things like this and turn them into production-ready, life-size giant kiosks, including designing all of the elements that would be on screen. I am an avid amateur photographer. I don't ever call myself a professional photographer, and I never will, because I don't ever want to do it for a living, but I love just taking pictures everywhere I go of all of the various interesting things that I see, including random moments where I pull over on the side of the road and get out and take a photo because I want to just capture that moment forever. Currently, I am a dual major in sociology and gender, race, and identity. I am an undergraduate researcher and a McNair Scholar. And what I'm doing in that regard is doing extensive research in pursuit of building a teachable academic framework that covers the entire spectrum of the typologies of love, which is a really fancy way of saying I'm going to eventually teach love the way that other teachers teach English or history. I consider it highly foundational to human society and all of us having better lives. But nonetheless, why do I want to be editor-in-chief? And I have a couple of slides in succession that I'm just going to go through. An editor must be capable of being unflinchingly bold in a way that one is unafraid to make strong choices. But an editor must also be willing to be incredibly subtle. An editor must be able to lead. That's what an editor does. They lead an entire team. But one of the things that I've learned that many leaders fail to do is get out of the way. And by all of that, what I mean is that I think that I would make an amazing editor because of my skill set as a graphic designer and an art director, working from the bottom, working my way up, understanding different styles of communication, different work styles, and really understanding that it's not about me, it's about what everybody is doing. It's about what everybody brings to the table. And helping shape people, helping shape their ideas, helping guide people to the things that they want to do, pushing them to go further, asking a little more of people, helping people understand that at the university level, we are afforded the ability to take risks in a way that you cannot necessarily do out in the real world. And now is the time to see what you're capable of. And that's why I think that I would be a bold yet subtle leader who loves to empower others to be great. And that is really all I have.
Sweet. Now we have 5 minutes for questions for Joseph.
Oh my gosh.
Olivia and then
Olivia Sullivan in Insight Magazine. Sorry, that's so weird. why Insight specifically? I know you said like you had a slide for why editor-in-chief specifically, but why Insight Magazine?
Because I really love the storied legacy of Insight that started way back in 1907. As the Artemisia yearbook, and the Artemisia yearbook, I've looked at every Artemisia yearbook from 1917 to 1985, and just seeing the evolution of the yearbook and then seeing society and culture change to the point where in today's society with Instagram, social media, Snapchat, and things like classmates.com and Facebook, a yearbook clearly didn't make sense around 2008, and seeing the university adapt that into what became Insight, and then seeing Insight as what I feel like yearbooks were at their core when you take away the just documenting who attended what school, and that is students' ability to express themselves, to just put creativity out there for the sake of doing it. Whether that's telling a story, whether that is a photo montage, whether that is an illustration. I just love the storied legacy and the continued creative expression that Insight represents.
Adeline Hewitt, Wolfpack Radio. So with a lot of these student media positions, there's often a lot of pushback from ASUN specifically. I'm wondering how you plan on, I guess, kind of framing this in a way that can appease business majors within the finance and budget committee, because that's kind of been a thing where they will undercut what we all do. And so how do you plan on, I guess, proving the value to people like that?
Well, I served in ASUN as the Commissioner of Social Justice and Policy for a partial term. It is a brutal environment, and it's not an environment that I'm built for. But I did learn how exactly one comports themselves. In the very beginning of my term in ASUN, one of the very first things I did was offer public comment in support of Brushfire. And I strongly believe in choosing, as cliche as this might sound, choosing the higher road, whereby one speaks very calmly and eloquently about the reasons why these entities need to be supported without calling anybody out, without attacking anybody, without triggering anybody, simply focusing on why. Why it is very important for students to be able to express themselves, to have different outlets, whether they be radio, podcast, literary arts, submitting something creative in a magazine like Insight. It's really important for students to be able to express themselves, to experiment, to push their own boundaries, and see that in an environment like a university, so that they can go out into the real world where it is much more brutal, where people won't necessarily care what you have to say, and you will have to fight for it. It's just, I believe that I can absolutely advocate on behalf of Insight, Brushfire, or anybody for that matter. If I'm selected as editor, I would not only fully defend and support Insight, I would support all the other entities as well.
Katie Peters, Insight Magazine. I know you talked a little bit about your leadership styles, but if you were to get editor-in-chief, what would be some goals or tangible goals that you have specifically for Insight?
I have followed both Insight and Brushfire for several years, looking at what is published, what kind of styles are represented. And my overarching goal with Insight would specifically be, I think not having been a member of the staff of Insight or Brushfire previously, I would bring the opportunity for something new, but not necessarily my voice or my style. I want to empower everyone else to be able to express themselves, to push their own boundaries in a way that they can take those risks that I talked about. Maybe veer from a style that they're comfortable with, try something that they haven't tried before. Ask people, is there something that you really wanted to do but you just weren't quite sure? And maybe you held back and you did something more typical or more expected. What does that thing that you were thinking of look like? Allowing people to be able to try new things and to use my skills as I'm previously having been an art director to help guide people towards seeing the best version of their vision. I don't want to lead in a way that I say, oh, hey, I love contemporary style. Let's do everything contemporary. It's not about me. I would be there to ensure that there is consistency and quality, and to ensure that everybody has an equal opportunity to try something, to do something. But I don't want it to be my voice. I want it to be everyone else's voice, amplified.
Up. So thank you, Jasmine. I'm going to ask you to go to the classroom and please ask McKenna to come today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My name is McKenna Skorotsky, and I will be presenting to be the next editorial director of Insight Magazine. The reason I put editorial director is because I heard the CSE wants to change editor-in-chief to more progressive terminology, and if I was chosen for this position, I would change it to editorial director. Oh, how do I use this? I'm doing too much. Sorry, guys. Okay, here. I'll just go tap it. Okay, we'll try again. Just a little like overview of what we're going to talk about today. First, you're going to get to know me, of course, and then we're going to do my experience with Insight, and then next is my goals, and then any questions you guys have for me. We're going to see if it works. Yes! Okay, so about me. I was born and raised in Las Vegas, Nevada, and then I decided to come to UNR for school. Here I'm studying to be a business major with an emphasis in marketing and management. My minor is business analytics, and currently working for UNR as the PR manager of Insight, and also I'm in the sorority Alpha Omicron Pi, also known as AOPi, and I've held two positions in it, vice president of membership experience and also social chair. So my experience as a PR manager. I have done other accounts besides Insight working as a PR manager. My first is a real estate agent for California. I handled all their Instagram and have grown their Instagram from just 100 followers almost to 500 followers within the year I worked for them. Next is small businesses. I ran 3 TikToks from COVID all the way to now. One is a crafting one, one is a comic book one, and the other is a makeup channel. So give or take. And then currently right now I'm doing the social media and marketing for Insight Magazine. Currently what I have introduced into Insight is a consistent scheduling post, meaning I lay out a calendar in front of our whole entire team and tell them when we're going to post, what we're going to post, and what I need from them if I'm collaborating them with features or if I'm doing what they have written or photographed within the last year. I'm also starting to rebrand Insight as a whole. I started on their logo, which you're going to see in the next slide, and I'm also currently working with the tech team with the website and upgrading it for making it user-friendly and aesthetic. And then also I've gotten student involvement through the poster, which you're going to see again in the next slide, and I have reached out, and most of our volunteers and interns have come from our post on social media. And we also have reached out to volunteers through club fairs and other ways. Alrighty, here's all my accomplishments within Insight. Right here is our new logo. I had Inkblot help us create logos, and there's 5 of them, and we chose down to 1, so this is a collaborative thing within our team. We also are doing more outreach to students, and this is our new banner to do tabling with, so that's exciting. And then this is our call for submissions post. We also had a poster, but because of the like PNG, SVG, it wouldn't let me put that up there, but you can look all over the Joe and campus to see them. And then last is our stickers. I created stickers, and if you guys want to take one and pass them around, you guys can have one. Alrighty, I'll go to the next one. So here are my main goals if chosen as editorial director. The first one is longevity, second is organization, third is work environment, and fourth is collaboration with other student medias. So longevity. So within my time at Insight, I've seen just our team go from 7 people to adding volunteers to adding interns, and I'd like to progress this a little faster with starting during Nevada Fit, including all of the other student medias in marketing for us so that they are able to get a grasp on no matter what college they're at to know what student media is. And I'd like to do this by marketing and also having that trickle down of volunteers and interns so that they are able to get positions at the end of their term. Organization. As a UNR student, we all came here to study, and a bonus is working for student media. And I'd like my team to be proficient in communication with me because I want our magazine to be successful. And my goal is to have our issue of that semester be produced a month before the semester ends so that we are able to distribute and get other student medias and also student outreach faster so that we're able to see more student involvement. Timelines with my contact calendar, I'm going to introduce this to my whole entire team with the magazine itself and this just not scheduled posted. Third is work environment. Insight has the best culture that I've ever seen within a club. As soon as I joined and I was the last member to join, they treated me with respect and made me laugh and made me feel involved instead of feeling like the first day, like kids school, and not feeling like I belong. So I was very thankful for that. And also, Insight as a whole has made me progress as a person. And there's things that I never thought I could do that they have improved and shown me that I'm capable of doing. So I'd like to continue this for the new team that is coming on so they are able to enjoy this work experience. And then fourth is collaboration with other student medias. Each student media has a way of communicating to the student body in a creative way, their own expression and own ideas, and Insight is just a pillar of this. My goal next year is to work with the student medias. Coming from the College of Business, I had not a lot of ideas of what student media was. And my goal is to allow all the colleges to understand student media in a way that I would have understood it back when my freshman year. What makes Insight a little bit different than other ones is we have a centralized theme we go around, and our team collaborates on picking that theme. Also, you can see with our new issue, Spring 2023 issue of Pandora's Box, which is going to be coming out soon. Our team is allowed to collaborate on stories that are relevant to the student body, but not that are focused on UNR, but their interests too, meaning that they can talk about different characters within movies or music or anything that interests them. The budget. So I would like to continue with the 400 to 500 copies with perfect binding. This is our issue from last semester, our fall 2022, sorry. And this is what the binding looks like with the perfect bound binding. And this is what saddle stitch looks like, just so you guys can see the difference. And if you want to pass these around just to feel them and see. Another one of my goals with the budget is to maximize our webmaster budget with creating an online issue. Since I am working with the tech team to do our website, I'd like to incorporate this too. And another thing is our staff positions. I would like to maximize our budgets with that, of course, and keep art director, illustrator, photo editor, staff writer, and two copy editors. Since I am the PR manager now, and that's my specialty, it's shown with other EICs, with other student medias, and Insight itself that we have specialties, and I'd like to keep this. And I think it also helped me on a different level and Insight reach out because of the networking I've created already, and now it's in a bigger, different position. And then, questions?
Time for questions. Olivia Sullivan and Insight Magazine. So, as you know, a good 85% of the current staff is leaving either for graduation or just for various reasons. How does your kind of hiring process, how would you plan that hiring process? How quickly would you want to start it? Yeah.
I'd like to start it quickly as possible, as quickly. We do have interns currently and volunteers. So I have a pool of people that are already interested in Insight Magazine. I haven't talked to them individually since we have created a relationship with them, and just talk to them and just give them that little 411, and then go from there.
Rachel Jackson, photo editor from Mass Sagebrush. When you were talking about the theme, is that an equal vote for each staff member of Insight, or would the editor-in-chief have more of a say in that?
The magazine is a collaborative piece. Even as the PR manager, I do have a say in it, even though I have nothing to do with the physical copy, but more on the social media side and the online side. I even got a vote within it, and it made the whole process easier. Because at the end of the day, we all have a word in what happens, and our work goes into it.
Adeline Pewitt, Wolfpack Radio. I'm just curious on, you mentioned collaboration with other student medias. I'm curious about, if you could expand on that.
Yeah, of course. So my goal is next year to have a meeting with all the student media leaders and create a poster with them with Inkblot, and explaining student media, explaining our four sectors, and posting it everywhere. Also making carousel of Instagrams and Facebooks so that everybody has a knowledge of what student media and each particular individual student media platform is, and then also hoping that we can get it posted on ASUN.
Questions?
Sure. Alright. Well, thank you so much, Mackenna.
Thank you.
You can wait outside and I'll come get you gasoline.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Senator for the School of Journalism, for the record. As much as I think that both candidates have a passion for the magazine, I think that McKenna had a very consistent outline of what she wanted done. She's worked with the magazine herself, has even designed stuff. She's very confident in what she wants to do. She's very happy about the magazine, talks about it very positively. And I think as a goal of trying to get student media out on campus more, talking about organization positively really reflects on that and get more people involved. I really just like the way that she approached it. When the slides weren't working, she was happy and silly about it. It wasn't like, oh no, it's all over. She kind of works around that, so I really appreciate that.
Discussions?
Rachel Jackson, for the record. I agree. On the flip side of that, as a photographer, hearing Jocelyn talk about, the part where she said, pulling over her car to take a photo, I feel really resonated with me as an artist, because I was that's definitely, something that I would like to see in an editor, even though this isn't the publication that I work for. And I was questioning, is McKenna the type of person to do that? Though I think that she would do a great job with, obviously, getting student media out there, especially, with all that we've had to go through this year. It would be a shame for that effort to be slowed down after going into the next year. But I am a little concerned about having a business major running the magazine, so I would love to have your guys' opinion on that, artistically, how much you think it's necessary for the editor or editorial director to be with an artistic background. Or just your reservations in general?
Yeah, I think, Olivia Sullivan, is that right? I think that, both of us coming from a journalism background, it can be very easy to coming into these publications, realizing that there are a lot of us in this room even, or that are a part of the organization that aren't journalism background and don't have quote unquote, that art background that we kind of signify with not good work, but the kind of work that we're used to seeing. And I think that McKenna has shown in her own right her own artistic style within Inside Magazine. I mean, working with Inkblot to create these, this new logo, the stickers, the banner, that was all her initiative, pushing forward that art, that love of art and that love of business as well. I think she offers a whole new take on the kind of artistry that we're used to seeing. She has just a different take on it, and I think that that's beneficial in its own right. I don't know if that answered the question. I just think that she's brought something new to Insight that's, well, it's a welcome new thing.
No, not, okay, no. Kira Ewald, for the record. I think to, in the ways that you resonate with what Jocelyn shared, I, in a sense, can resonate where McKenna comes from. Everything that, you guys have seen, experienced from Insight this past year, any kind of creative touch to it, my hands have been off. My specialty is in copy editing. So I have no knowledge on graphic design, on illustration, on photography. I dabble in writing here and there. but I think at the end of the day, it's what kind of culture does this person want to create, and how are they going to create that? And so even if a person might not have the capabilities of taking an aesthetically styled picture, it's but as a leader, would they uplift and empower a student such as maybe Clayton, who is our current photo editor, to do that and to be involved more heavily in the collaborative process. And I think every person has a role. And then on another side comment of that, I think that one of the reasons why student media struggles with outreach externally, like on campus, is because internally we have a hard time reaching out to people from different disciplines. And so while there are some things where it's like, okay, there have been some conversations where I've had to talk through just basic knowledge with McKenna that she didn't really understand at first, that to me it was like common knowledge, like how could you not know this? I think it just shows, like, it allowed me to reflect as an EIC, like, oh, I have to do this because we don't really outreach to people of different disciplines internally at first. And so what we might think as common knowledge really isn't common knowledge to other people, and I think she could be the start of maybe being that one representative throughout, at least specifically the college of business for the books. Does that answer your question?
Adeline Hewitt, Wolfpack Radio. I do want to say I liked both of them a lot. They both slayed, and when I think about Insight, I think slay. So I do want to say I thought that it's kind of an important part that McKenna, that she has like an already standing relationship with interns and like volunteers, because it's going to kind of make a difference if people know that person. They're going to feel more comfortable being more involved with Insight rather than someone they may not know. So that's kind of like what I think about that aspect, at least.
We're gonna take like 5 minutes break so you guys can stretch. It's been a long meeting.
Jocelyn, I hope you keep
knocking the door for student media. Yeah, we always are looking for collaborations with creative people. So thank you, and thank you, McKenna, for your impressive work with the Insight Magazine.
Thank you.
I'm so, gonna grab my stuff.
You guys can sit in the meeting if you want. But now we're gonna take a 5 minutes break. It's just like stretch a little bit, and we're gonna resume the meeting at 12:41.
I should be a little bit late.
I should be.
I should be.